Drop your shoulders. Let go of any anxiety, any worry. Just feel God's presence here with you right now. Give God everything that you're thinking about and know that all is well. May our loving God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
God, we love you so much. Thank you for waking us up this morning, for bringing us together to praise you, to worship you, to listen to you, to be instructed by you. We ask you to fill our hearts with your light, your love, and your wisdom as we listen to the word of God. We pray through Christ our Lord. You may be seated. During our Advent season, we always have a child light our Advent candle. This morning, I'd like to invite Sophia Baker to come up to light our Advent candle for us. Thank you, Sophia. Our reader this morning is Lorinda Parks and David, and our signer this morning is Catherine.
Good morning, everyone. The first reading is from Baruch chapter 5. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights, look to the east and see your children, gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you. Borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones, for God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low and that the age-old depths and gorges are filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure into the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of God's glory, with God's mercy and justice for company. The word of God. The psalm response this morning from Psalm 126. All the Lord has done great things for you. All the Lord has done great things for you. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like people dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for you. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. The Lord has done great things for us. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The Lord has done great things for us. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us. The second reading is from Philippians. This is a reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God.
This is a reading that has no mercy on sign language interpreters. God be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was the tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis. Wait, there's more. And Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight God's paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough roads made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So recently I was returning some bottles and cans in the Pittsford Wegmans before I was shopping, and I pulled my cart up in front of the machines there, started to put some of my returnables in, and there was a woman next to me, an older woman, who was doing the same. And have you ever been in a situation where you just kind of know somebody's watching you too, you can sort of feel it? So I'm putting in a plastic bottle, and you may have had this happen. The little sign comes up, the store does not accept this brand. So I take it out, put it in my cart. Second time, the store does not accept this brand. A third and fourth time this happens. And so I begin to have a conversation with the machine. And I say out loud, I say, I don't understand. I bought these here, okay? Why don't you take them? And somewhat bluntly, the woman next to me says, because you're putting plastic in the machine for the cans. And she goes on, you ought to pay attention to what you're doing. You never know where good advice is going to come from. And so, yes, it is good to pay attention to what we're doing, and Advent is a great season to pay attention to what we're doing. It's also a season for slowing down and for focusing. And in the church calendar, it is time when we prepare for Jesus' coming into the world and into our lives again. And what do we do when someone is coming? Well, in my house growing up, we cleaned. And I was always amazed, you know, do you ever have that kind of scramble before guests where you get more done in 10 minutes than you do in almost a week's cleaning? And I really think Advent is a good time for cleaning of our minds and of our lives. Most of us, if we're honest, are living with way more stuff than we will ever need and could seriously use some simplification and decluttering. You know, recently I walked into my bedroom, and maybe you've had these kinds of moments where I thought to myself, how can I live this way? You know, I was just kind of disgusted with how much stuff I have. Especially for me, it's books. These are books I love, books that have been given to me, books I hope to read someday. And I looked at my bookshelf, and they were just everywhere. And so I had said, that's it. I'm going to do something about this. And so that day, I got rid of maybe 75 or 100 books. I still have far more than I need, but it's very freeing and cleansing. And Advent is a great time to do this. Pick a place wherever you live could be a closet, a room, could be a genre of things, and move it along. Let it go so that someone else might have it. Donate it, give it away, give it as a gift, but let it go. My mother-in-law, Sue Staropoli, is actually really good at this. She literally comes to our houses and helps us part with things. And she asks two basic questions as she's doing this process with us. She says, is this something that I have actually used in the past year? If not, let it go. And is this something that I really enjoy using or wearing or seeing in the house that brings me joy? But if not, let it go. So have you used it in the past year, and does it bring you joy? Now, the goal of Advent is not to create more space so that you can fill it with other stuff, right? It's a time to seriously ask, what is really essential? What do we really need? And for those of us who live in a culture of overconsumption, this is a serious question indeed. But in addition to literally clearing room in our lives, we need to clear room in our minds and in our hearts, because they are sometimes more cluttered than the spaces we live in, and we can't always move forward with clarity. You may have heard about a prank recently that Payless Shoes did. Payless has a reputation as a discount retailer that sells cheap, unfashionable shoes. Sorry if you shop there, it's just I'm just telling you their reputation. But what they did at one of their Los Angeles stores was they started an ad campaign, this media blitz, for a supposedly new brand of designer shoes, which were called Palessi. And they were allegedly made by this chic Italian designer, Bruno Palessi. And so they had a launch party, and they took their cheap Payless shoes that were now sold on glass shelves with gorgeous lighting in a beautiful setting and a designer label. So people were literally trying on shoes that they might have scoffed at, and were now gushing about how nice these shoes were. They were willing to pay $200 to $400 for shoes that cost $25 at Payless. Now, as part of the whole publicity campaign, Payless refunded money to anyone who bought them and told them, keep the shoes and just tell people how wonderful these shoes are. Now, why do I tell this story? Well, in our second reading today, we hear that Paul prays for the community, that their love may increase, but also that their knowledge may increase so that they can discern what is of value. I would submit to you that many of us are not much different from the folks in LA who tried to scoop up these hot Palessi shoes, because we all struggle to discern what is really of value. We have been seduced and bamboozled by a culture and a way of life that values status, that values things, that values success, that values busyness, that values others' perceptions of us, and we are losing more and more contact with what has real value. Martin Luther King reminded us more than 50 years ago that any nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. 50 years ago, he said that, and we have been doing it every year since. And the Dalai Lama, when asked what surprised him most about humanity, he said modern people, because they sacrifice health in order to make money, then they sacrifice money in order to recuperate health, and then they're so anxious about the future that they can't enjoy the present, the result being that they do not live in the present or the future. Advent is a time of discernment, which is a spiritual practice focused on clarifying priorities, redirecting our lives, and living more intentionally. It's a great time of year to ask, where are we headed, really? Are we doing what is most important to us? Are we spending time with the people we need to be spending time with? Are we making the poor and our planet a priority? Recently, I had a chance to travel to Detroit for a conference which was focused on race and privilege. And one of the keynote speakers is a queer black visionary and activist from Detroit named Adrienne Marie Brown. And she wrote a brilliant book in 2017 called Emergent Strategy. And she says that we really need to seriously slow down and think about where we are headed collectively. She says right now, there's actually a battle going on for our imaginations. We are living in a world that someone else imagined and that we have taken to be reality. Someone else has imagined borders and walls. Someone else has imagined using tear gas on children. Someone else imagined racial division. Someone else imagined patriarchy and a gender binary. Someone else imagined that there need to be rich people and poor people. Someone else imagined hierarchy and domination. And so many of us have just come to accept this as reality. She says we have to get into the game of imagination. We have to shift how we think of ourselves, how we think of others, how we think of conflict, how we think of our planet. Because the outdated imagination, it just can't hold us the way we need to be held. The preacher and theologian Barbara Brown Taylor says that Jesus was always trying to get his followers to reimagine things. And he told us to look at ordinary things like seeds, weeds, coins, sheep, nets, pearls, parents, children, farmers, fishermen, women sweeping and baking bread. He was trying to help us see life from a different perspective so that we could develop an inner reality that can transform the world around us. Now, many days it is hard for me to imagine things differently. I get discouraged and down. I don't believe that I can change or that others might be able to change. I can even feel a little panicky sometimes. Recently, I was talking to a young woman who flew for the first time about 2 years ago. She's in her early 20s. She was flying, I think, from New Jersey to Atlanta or something, and was quite nervous. And she said that no one had ever told her about turbulence. And so at a particularly bumpy point in the flight, this is what she said. She was so anxious, she yells out loud, "Oh my God, we're going to die. The plane is going down." Yes, she said that. In fact, the air marshals also found that a very interesting thing to say, and had a small conversation with her after the flight. Now, maybe you have days where you feel like this too. Adrienne Marie Brown cautions us that when we get discouraged or want to freak out at the state of the world, we may need to stay focused and realize that things may not be unraveling so much as getting uncovered. And during the uncovering, we really have to hold each other tightly and continue to pull back the veil. Now, you may have noticed that today's gospel starts with a whole list of names of really important people at the time of Jesus. But the gospel writer tells us that the word of God went to someone no one had heard about. And in the midst of a lot of chaos and upheaval at the time when Jesus was born, God imagined a different world, one that was not based on traditional power and authority. And God told John, "Go get it ready." God tells us the same. Get the new world ready. Get it ready in your families. Get it ready in your workplaces. Get it ready in your schools. Get it ready in your communities, in your relationships, in your hearts, and in your minds. But it is really hard to get it ready if we haven't already imagined it or aren't even trying. And so again this year, we try to make space to slow down and re-engage the Advent disciplines of prayer, patience, and kindness to keep getting clearer on how we can do this. The great writer Arundhati Roy said that another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. In the next few weeks of Advent, let's keep preparing ourselves. Let's keep giving things away. Let's keep being intentional. Let's keep holding on to each other tightly. And let's keep pulling back the veil. And let's get very quiet so that we can hear the breathing of the new world that is on her way.
When there's no one to talk to, all I can say,
I really love.